You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nerding fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. Today we've got Michael James joining us from Navy Bird Dog. We're going to talk a little bit of Navy football. Hopefully Notre Dame can get things... hopefully we can put the awful taste of Navy out of our minds.
In Miami.
Or Miami, I mean. I'm all mixed up. And just get back to football. But Michael is joining us today. Michael, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so looking at Navy football, I guess we all kind of know what Navy's going to do. We don't expect to see a lot of passing yards, or hopefully not. That's usually a bad sign. But just tell us a little bit where Navy is as a program this year. They started out the season strong and kind of hit a speed bump, I guess, the last four games, going 1-3. Just tell us a little bit about the program, where they're at.
Navy's doing okay. You know, it's kind of interesting that the frame of reference has changed since Navy joined the American Athletic Conference. If you look at a Navy team over the last decade or so, you know, coming into the Notre Dame game, a 6-3 season would be, you know, would look okay. But when the last couple of years with the Mids being, you know, contending for conference championships with the next, you know, coming in at 6-3, it almost feels like, oh gosh, something must be wrong. And certainly over the last four games, it's after a 5-0 start to lose three out of the last four has been a bit of a tough pill to swallow. But part of that has just been because Memphis and UCF are good teams. Temple maybe not as much. And Ken Niumatalolo said that he was bewildered at how flat Navy came out for that game, but they seemed to turn it around against SMU.
Very good. And just recently they've had a quarterback change. Is Malcolm Perry, does he look like he'll be the starter Saturday, or who are they planning to start?
I think he would be starting if he was healthy, but on the last drive against SMU, he sprained his ankle pretty well, and he's been called questionable for this week's game. So the talk right now in practice is that it's going to come down to either Zach Abey or Garrett Lewis.
Okay, and Zach Abey was a starter at the beginning of the year?
That's correct.
Okay. So did Zach Abey just get Malcolm Perry outplay him and took over the starting role, or how did that come about?
Well, it started, you know, Zach had run for 1,200 yards this year, and he's actually still leads, even after missing a game, he still leads the American Athletic Conference in rushing with 150 yards per game. But he got hurt at the end of the Temple game, and the way Navy played against Temple, Kenny Matalolo felt that the team just needed, he felt that the team just needed a spark. They needed something to kind of light the fire underneath them. Malcolm Perry is the best runner on the team, you know, without question. And when you look at what defenses have done against Navy this year, the book on Navy has been force the quarterback to carry the ball. If you look back at the end of last year, Zach Abey struggled a bit. He struggled against Temple in the conference championship game. He struggled against Army. And so when teams were preparing their Navy game plans coming into this year, the goal was really to get Abey to carry the ball. Now, he's responded, but the problem is that he's getting 30 to 35 carries every game, and guys like Malcolm Perry and Chris High aren't getting the carries that they're used to. So what Coach Niumatalolo kind of figured was, well, if the quarterback's going to get the lion's share of the carries, then let's put our best runner in a quarterback. And so that's kind of what led to Malcolm Perry starting the game against SMU.
So Malcolm Perry was playing before he was the quarterback?
He was a slot back, yeah.
Okay. So obviously Navy's going to run the ball as much as possible. Who are the main guys to watch for besides the quarterback?
Well, if you look at, you know, there's a question of who's going to start a quarterback this week, and it's going to be Zach Abey or Garrett Lewis. The way Mike Elko has defended the option in the past when he was at Wake Forest, he played Army a few times. And really what he was trying to do is very similar to what Navy's seen a lot of this year, where they're putting eight guys into the box. and trying to shoot gaps and time the snap and really try to make plays in the backfield. And usually when that's the case, the quarterback gets a lot of carries. So look for whoever starts, whether it's A.B. or Lewis, will probably get the most carries in the game. And then the other name to keep an eye out for is Darryl Bonner, who's a slot back who really hasn't been as much of a factor this year, just because as at the slot back position, Perry has kind of been the focal point. But with Perry out, you can probably look to see Bonner pick up the slack, both running the ball and receiving the ball, as Navy's primary downfield threat.
Okay, very good. And is Chris High, I mean, is he, how involved has he been? I mean, he's, what, the second leading carrier on the team?
He is. The fullback in general hasn't really been as much of a factor this year because so much has revolved around the quarterback. And you know, the offense is doing fine if you look overall. I mean, they're running for almost 370 yards per game. So it's been, you know, the offense itself has produced. It's just that it's, so much of it has been quarterback heavy, but yeah. Chris High has been banged up for a couple games. And actually Anthony Gargiulo's another fullback had 140 yards against SMU, and he kind of stood out as a different style of runner. High is more of a traditional tailback type, while as Gargiulo is more of your traditional bone fullback, kind of the bruiser between the tackles. So between the two of them, I think the idea, you know, the idea would be to hopefully get them more carries to help the offense not be quite as quarterback centric. But obviously, a lot of that just depends on what the defense does, and the defense maintains a measure of control in determining who gets the ball against a triple option team.
Yeah. And looking at the receivers, when Navy does pass the ball, who are the guys that they throw it to?
At the wide receiver position, you have a couple different guys. So, you know, Tyler Carmona is the team's leading receiver, and he's a big body. In the NFL, he would translate to a tight end more than a wide receiver, but Navy likes to recruit these guys. You know, they're 6'3", 6'4". They may not necessarily have blazing speed, but they're really good downfield blockers, and they're big targets in the receiving game, and Tyler Carmona certainly fits that bill. Strangely, with Malcolm Perry being moved to quarterback and now probably not playing, he was the team's second leading receiver. He had 267 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns on the year. So without him, you would probably look to see Darryl Bonner step up. And then Brandon Cologne has a few catches this year, too. He's another one of those big wide receivers that that Navy likes to recruit.
And then switching over to the defensive side of the ball, how have they been faring this year?
Defensively, it's been kind of a mixed bag for Navy. If you look at what Navy has traditionally done on defense, it's been a lot of soft zone coverage, bend but don't break, keep everything in front of you, and try not to give up the big play. And a lot of that's just because the team is so confident in their own offense's ability to score that, you know, that kind of mindset helps you to, you know, helps you to shorten games if you make the other team kind of have to drive the field in order to score. But they've changed it up this year. So whereas they used to be a lot more zone, now it's a lot more man-to-man. It's a lot more high pressure. And at the beginning of the year, it was going great. If you look at the first couple games, look at Florida Atlantic, look at Tulane, you know, the Navy's defense, you know, really went a long way to winning those games for them. Things started to get a little bit shaky in the Cincinnati game, where Navy won the game, but Cincinnati was able to move the ball up and down the field. And I think what you saw was the teams early in the year that were preparing for Navy were preparing for last year's Navy defense because that's all they could expect. But once the film got out and people knew how to prepare for what Navy was doing now, then they came out with better game plans and were started to move the ball fairly well against Navy. So it's been a bit of a transition. If you look at we've had a couple games where they would come out in the first half and look great, shut down the other team. Happened last week against SMU, happened against Air Force, where the defense was fairly dominant. And then in the second half, teams were able to adjust and then come back and almost pull those games out for them. So it's been a learning process for the staff, not only with the new, you know, not just coming out with a new scheme, but also learning how to make adjustments within that scheme to counter what other teams are doing. So it's been a learning curve for really everyone. So it's kind of been the defense has taken some lumps on the way, but they've also won some games for Navy. So they're tough to get a read on sometimes.
Yeah, and Notre Dame actually got a transfer from Navy, Aloe Gilman, safety, transferred to Navy, and hasn't played this year, hasn't been eligible. But can you tell us a little bit about Aloe, how he played? I believe he started most of the year last year.
Yeah, I did. And really what Aloe Gilman brought to the Navy defense was versatility. He would line up at safety. They'd bring him up to what is called the striker on Navy's defense, which is sort of like a coverage linebacker. And whatever the coaches needed him to do, he would do it. He just had good instincts, was a good tackler, was good in coverage. So that versatility helped a kind of a depleted unit last year, because they knew that if something happened, the coaches could put Gilman somewhere and know that at least that position would be locked down. So I think versatility is probably his biggest strength.
And what are your thoughts on his future? I mean, there's stories out there that he wanted to transfer because, you know, people were telling him that he has a potential in the NFL, and with Navy's new rule of not being able to go straight to the NFL, you think that was one of the main factors?
I do. Although to call it a new rule is kind of, you know, that's certainly when he went and requested the exception. Okay. From the NCAA, that's kind of what he was selling, but that's not really true. You know, Keenan Reynolds was allowed to go into the NFL, which did not sit well with everyone. But before then, you know, when he was being recruited, that wasn't the case. When he came to the Naval Academy, that wasn't the case at all. He had, you know, he came, went to the prep school and came in with the understanding that, you know, service was going to be, you know, part of the deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's happened before. You know, there have been guys who have left the Naval Academy because they thought they might have a shot at the NFL, and some have gotten a shot. So, you know, whatever works for different players, you know, who am I to say whether or not a guy has a chance to go to the NFL or not? But the general feeling was that certainly was a big factor in his decision to move on.
Okay. So Reynolds was kind of an exception to that.
So what had happened was the rule was that you would have to serve at least 2 years on active duty before you could apply for a waiver to go, if some NFL team wanted you to go try to make an NFL roster.
Okay.
And what happened, there was the outgoing secretary of the Navy decided, well, we think this is going to be such a great recruiting boon. We're going to go ahead and change the rules so that now we'll just handle everything on a case by case basis. And if you ask then, and we think you have a shot, then you can go ahead. And that's how Keenan Reynolds was allowed to go. But with the new administration, new chain of command with the Department of Defense, that got shut down where, no, we have to go back and to serve at least 2 years before we can apply for a waiver. So it's, you know, the pendulum has swung for years on this sort of thing when it comes to how to handle Surface Academy athletes. You know, the Army tried to do what they called the alternative service option, where they were letting guys go pro right away. they were doing that for, you know, most of the, you know, the late 2000s. It didn't really affect them in football. No one really noticed it until Caleb Campbell was allowed to go to the NFL and went into the draft. And then all of a sudden people realized, well, gosh, they've been sending baseball players and hockey players into the pros for years. And that kind of got things shut down for a bit. And then the pendulum swung to let Reynolds go. And, okay. You know, that's kind of the nature of the beast when you're dealing with the government. But, you know, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. That makes a lot more sense on why Aloy Gilman's was denied eligibility this year, because, you know, as we all heard, oh, this is a new rule, you know, and so that's what he's appealing. And I was like, well, that should go through, you know, if he didn't know that coming in. But that definitely makes more sense hearing it like that.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it would have been a backbreaker for service academies if this waiver was allowed.
Yeah.
I'm all for, you know, allowing, you know, student athletes to transfer wherever they want. But if you get to the point where it would become open season on the service academies, where if anyone has a standout season in its first couple of years, that you know, if they knew that they could go and play right away, then you would see kind of a mass. They would become sort of a minor league for mm-hmm. the rest of college football. And I don't think that's the intent that the NCAA would want with a rule like this. So I can understand why they approved the waiver. And I know some were upset over the fact that the 1 year, you know, of sitting out was upheld. But I think it was probably the right decision.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you on that. This year, Navy has been a part of a season with, and Notre Dame was a few years ago. How has that had an effect on the team, or how has that been going this year?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, it's been kind of interesting for everyone to kind of see things play out. Even this past week, where you had the kind of drama with you know, Zach Abey not being able to start, and the surprise starting quarterback moving Malcolm Perry back to quarterback, and being able to see all that play out has been really interesting. I don't know that it's had too much of an effect on the team at all. They certainly like joking about it on Twitter and talking about the things they see and what makes it in and what doesn't make it in. But when Showtime approached the Naval Academy about doing this, Kenny Mottolo was 100% on board. He said, you know, for part of the reason is because Notre Dame had been on a season with, and, you know, if you look at that, the context of this, three schools have been have been a part of this program: Florida State, Notre Dame, and Navy.
Yeah.
And when Navy can be, you know, gets put in that kind of a context, I mean, if that's the company that Navy's keeping, you know, that's huge for the program. It's a huge statement about where Navy, how far Navy has come as a program, and what, you know, that Showtime would approach them about this. And I think another reason why Showtime wanted to do the Naval Academy is that it's just very open. You know, as Coach Niumatalolo said, you know, we have no skeletons. Come on, run your cameras and let's, you know, look where you want to look.
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, I think we'll see a little bit more in the long run to see, you know, if recruits are watching it at all, or just, you know, what it means. But just overall, in getting the message of the Naval Academy out there, I think it's been a tremendous benefit.
Yeah, I mean, the skeleton, the claw, that's kind of why I wanted to watch Florida State last year, just to kind of see how they operate down there. But I ended up not watching too much of it. But I was definitely intrigued with Navy, and I've watched some of the episodes. I'm not caught up, but I like that they picked Navy, because it's different than your normal college and football team.
Yeah, so. And I think that's it. You know, once you kind of get to a point with some, you know, with a big time college where you've seen one, you kind of seen them all, and it's hard for, I mean, you don't, that's not really fair to say, because it's not really true, but to your average viewer,
yeah,
that's kind of how it is. So you can get something different with a school like Notre Dame just because of who Notre Dame is. And then you get a school like Navy where it is so much different that it is, you can finally tell a different story like that. And I think that's probably part of the appeal to Showtime.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Michael, for joining us. And listeners, you can read up on Navy football and definitely do that before the game on Saturday, navy.rivals.com. Follow Michael on Twitter at @NavyBirdDog. And Michael, do you have any thoughts, just final thoughts on how you expect the game to go and a score prediction to go along with it? If you do, that's great. If not, that's fine too.
Well, you know, it's actually funny. It's really hard to make a prediction when I don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. And I don't know if anyone's going to know until Saturday. So it's being kept kind of under wraps. I think just in terms of the general course of the game, it all depends on whether or not Navy's able to run the ball. If Mike Elko has a lot of success against the option, so if he's able to shut it down, then things might get a little bit ugly, because I think this is one of those games where Notre Dame sees it as a chance to kind of get right, kind of get back to what they do. You know, they threw the ball a lot against Miami, and I don't think that's the identity they want to have. I think they really want to run the ball, so I think they're going to do that against Navy. If Navy can run the ball in return, then you're going to look at a pretty close game and a short game, you know, because there really won't be too many possessions for either team to get too big of a lead, because the clock's going to keep moving, maybe sort of like last year's game. Yeah. But if Mike Elko was really able to shut the Navy offense down the way he had been able to do against Army while at Wake Forest, then it might get a little bit ugly, and then we can start to see things open up a little bit more. So there's really one or two ways this can go.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. And definitely, are you coming up for the game?
I am not, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, hope you have a good weekend, and just wish you luck the rest of the season.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me on.